Father, we thank you, Lord, as always. The entrance of your word brings light and understanding to the simple. We ask, O Lord, that you help us to engage these promises today, even in the spirit, that we might get the benefits of them. Thank you for everything. Thank you for everyone that's in the room today. Right now, those that may join later, those that may listen to the replay later, the same blessings be upon every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning and good afternoon. Again, welcome everyone. Today, I want to cover Bible promises for our children. So this is again part of the, this is part five of the series on great, exceeding great and precious promises. So many promises in the Bible. You know, for context, we started off by introducing the promises of God. We broke them into different categories that we'll be covering. If you enjoyed after listening to today's lesson, if you enjoyed and you missed any others, you can go back and listen on the replays to the previous lessons. Promises about salvation, forgiveness, and eternal life. We covered that. Promises about, you know, deliverance and protection. We covered that. Promises about healing, health, rest, and peace. We covered that as well. Promises about prosperity and restoration and favor. We covered that as well. Today, I want to talk about the Bible promises for our children. And there's so many. I hope I can get through it all. Because, you know, God loves his children. The Lord loves them. He's giving them to us, you know, take care of them together with him. You know, these children are, you know, precious. You know, we take care of them together with the Lord, the caretakers. They're really his children as he gave them to us. You know, so I just want you to enjoy the blessings of the Lord through this today. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. So we are going to start here with the very first verse I want to read will tell us about the righteousness of God that he will impute to your children and grandchildren. As I do this, I'm going to call out the scriptures, read through them quickly. I may stop to say one or two things here or there that the Holy Spirit may prompt. But I want you to get at least two or three things out of this. And every time we listen to something about the Word of God, even if you heard it before, there's always something new that you can pick. You know, pick two or three things at least, maybe more that you pick from the lesson today and all of these wonderful promises that the Lord has for our children. Psalm 103, we're going to start there. And verse 17, God's righteousness, you know, shall be to your children and even to your grandchildren. Well, that also means that we are a reflection of the same. You know, as we learn of the Father, that's what Jesus said. You know, what he had learned of the Father, he showed to us. Well, as we learn from the Holy Spirit also, we show to our children and grandchildren. But we hold on to the promise of God that, you know, this righteousness shall be to them. Praise God. So, and I want to quickly, before I get ahead of myself here, I want to quickly remind us that of two things that we've said throughout this series. Number one, it is not a promise unless you know that it was promised. So that's important for us to know these promises. Number two, unless the promise is mixed with faith, it will do us no good. So we're going to give the scriptures so that we know them. We also encourage our hearts to be inspired with faith so that this promise can work for us. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. and his righteousness unto children's children. That means your children and your grandchildren as well. Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2. Now, this is a blessing that comes to your children because of your own relationship with the Lord. And people talk about generational curses all the time. Well, I like to talk about generational blessings. There are many blessings that come to you, because of your relationship. Of course, maintain their own relationship with the Lord, but you know, the blessing is because your children is God. Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord, it says. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And what is that blessing? His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. In your generation, your children and their children after them shall be blessed. Powerful promises as we go through here. Psalm 115 and verse 14. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Hallelujah. So that's a point blank promise which we can stand upon at any time for not only ourselves, but more importantly for our children. You know, great success comes from succession. So when the Lord gives us children after us, they must increase even beyond us, you know, and that's our own increase as well. The Lord will increase you and your children more and more. Hallelujah. Now, Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5, just slowing down so that, you know, you all can catch up. Psalm 127, verse 3. And of course, this one is talking about, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it, and so on. And he says in verse 3, behold, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in their gate. Hallelujah. Your children, it's a promise that they will be powerful prayer warriors, powerful soldiers for the Lord. They will ward off the enemies also in the gate, because we are bringing them up in the right way of the Lord. These are specific promises that we can claim, you know, and declare it over our children from time to time. There are plenty more to go through. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 21. The latter part of that says, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. So anytime that your children are in any kind of a jam, you can absolutely claim this promise that the Lord said the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Again, this is another generational blessing. The children are delivered because of the righteousness of their parent. That's what this scripture is saying. So, you know, believe the Lord and stand in the gap for your children. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let's read Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26. All of God's children, including your children, shall have a place of refuge in the Lord. You know, so you can always say and pray this prayer over their children, that they will have a place of refuge in the Lord. The Lord will be their refuge. The Lord will be their defense. The Lord will be their strong tower. The Lord will be their hiding place. He'll be their shield and their buckler. And that under his wings, they shall put their trust. Glory to God. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. The children of the righteous shall be blessed after him. And so many, as we go through this, I want you to notice there are so many promises that are given to your children through you. Hallelujah. This is how it works. We also inherit promises of God through Christ. Because the Bible says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You know, and also we can bless our children with the same inheritance that we have from God. All of the blessings that we have, pass on to our children. Let's not only think that only negative things pass on to generations. No, positive blessings. Right from the time that God began to deal with Abraham, blessings that passed on to him, that God gave him, passed on. He gave the same promise to Isaac. And after that, even to Jacob. And so on and so forth. You know, the blessings of God will pass on to your children. Now, they have a responsibility to walk with the Lord themselves, but by design, because they are your children, they have, access to certain benefits because you stand in the gap and you decree those things for them. Praise the Lord. He has a promise that tells us that no matter how the children, you know, look like right now, because of training them in the way of the Lord is promising us that they will be right there at the end. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Do your part. And when he is old, the Lord will make sure he's right there in the training that he has received. Remember, we talked about these promises. They carry conditions many times. And here is one condition. We do our part. We train up those children the best way we can with the help of the Lord. We decree good things over them. We prophesy the word of God over them. You know, never say no negative thing over your children. You do always good things and always train them with the word of the Lord. And here is the Lord saying that, look, even when they grow up, they're going to be right there in those things. They will not depart from it. Even when they depart, the Lord will bring them back. We'll see that in a bit. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. I and the children that God has given me are for signs and wonders. Is that the way you see your children? Glory to God. You see them as a generation of signs and wonders after you? Absolutely. That's the way we should see them. You know, this is what the Lord declared concerning all the sons of God. Jesus being the first fruits and the blueprint and the firstborn among many children and brethren. You know, this is prophetically about the Christ speaking concerning all the children of God, but also it is for us. We can stand in this promise and say, I and the children that God has given me are for signs and wonders. Signs and wonders, you know, that will bring glory to God. That's what will be in the lives of our children. Here's a point blank promise of God pouring out his spirit upon our children. Hallelujah. You know, there are many promises like that in the Bible, and I will be going to read several of them today. Let's read this one first in Isaiah chapter 44. We'll pick it up at verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, And that's a promise when we our soul panteth after the Lord. When our soul is hungry and thirsty for God. That's a promise. Jesus said that himself. You know, in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, in the so-called Sermon on the Mount, he said it. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's Matthew 5 and 6. But getting back to this Isaiah 44 promise that God called out by himself, here's what he says to us. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon thy dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed. Now that's your children. And my blessing upon thy offspring. Glory to God. That's a point blank promise. And we must not let that pass us by. We need to take a hold of these promises and release them. We are channels of these promises to our children. That's the way it works. You know the promise and you begin to believe it. And declare it over your children. Hallelujah. Let's begin to see God mold them into these things that his word is talking about. And they shall spring up as among the grass and as willows by the water courses. One shall say, I am the Lord's. You know, this is, they begin to identify themselves with the Lord, even in this crooked an adulterous and wicked generation, you know, and many young people are confused. You know, they can't find their way, but your children shall know that they belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. They will say, I am the Lord's. Another shall call himself, you know, by the name of Jacob and so on and so forth. You know, blessings to our children when they even subscribe with his hand unto the Lord. You know, they will identify with the King of Glory and detach themselves from the world. This is the prayer because of this promise. This is the prayer we should be praying over our children and grandchildren. Praise the Lord. Every one of these promises, as we go through, make sure you pick at least two or three or more that you will latch onto. Tons of them here for your children. Isaiah 49 and verse 25. This is a powerful concept that God reveals here. And how does he do it? Well, you know, let's see how he does it. Start at verse 24. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty or the lawful captive delivered? Well, this means even if, you know, your children go astray, they put their necks under things that they shouldn't be. Even they submit themselves to become captive by any means to anything. You know, in the jungle, the law of the jungle, you know, the hunting animals prey on the smaller ones and so on and so forth. You know, but even when they are captured, this is a powerful promise from the Lord. Just like David, on his watch, he said to the lion, no, sorry, not on my watch. You come here into my flock and take one of my sheep. No way. And he went after that lion and said, give up. Glory to God. He got into a fist fight with that lion. I tell you what. And maybe he came out with a scar or two, but somebody asked David, where'd you get that scar? He said, well, you should have seen the other guy. That's it. He got back what was his. I was not going to let that devil, lion, or any bear or anything take anything that belongs to him. Lion or not, he'll go after it. Not on my watch. Bear or not, he'll go after it. And same thing we must do for our children. We are the gatekeepers. You know, for them, you know, and their souls while we watch over them. I'm not going to let the devil take them. Devil can't have your children. He cannot have your grandchildren even. You know, so we must stand in the gap. Said, you know, thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away from him. Glory to God. The spirit of David that can go after that lion and the bear and get back what was taken. Yes. And the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Can you imagine trying to get a lamb, a small lamb, one of those little cubs from the, or whatever they are called, from the mouth of the lion? He can't do it. You know, David did it nonetheless. For I will contend, glory to God, with him that contendeth with you. And I will save thy children. Here's a point blank promise. You know, I will contend with the devil that's fighting to take away your children. And I will save them from the mouth of the devourer. I will save them, you know, as a prey from the hand of the mighty that thought he has captured them. The Lord promised here, I will save your children. That alone ought to make you shout the victory. This is a point blank promise. Isaiah 54 and verse 13. All, now that's all, not some. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise him almighty. All your children, you know, shall be taught of the Lord. And so we need to believe God for these things. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. These are point blank promises in the word of God. You know, lay hold on these things. Stand before the Lord. Declare it again, the Lord says, that thou mightest be justified. Plead thy cause with me. Let us reason together so that you may be justified. You know, as the Lord has promised, even so, you know, shall he do. And let's believe the word of God concerning these things for our children. Praise the Lord. Powerful. Many more to come. So go down through here. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 9. The Lord says that your children will be known even among the people, and they will be acknowledged that they are the blessed of God. Let's read it together in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 9. Promise of God to elevate your children, and even people will acknowledge the good hand of the Lord that is upon them. He said, your seed shall be known among the Gentiles. That's like in the world. There, you know, your offspring even among the people, and all that see them shall acknowledge them that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. And so I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, I and the children that he has given me. He has covered me with robes of righteousness, I and the children that he has given me. Hallelujah. So every time you claim a promise for yourself, by extension, claim it also for your children. Now, here's a powerful promise that gives us hope that these children, you know, sometimes you do the best you can. And I've seen or heard, and actually I've seen some cases where even powerful men of God, they did, you know, preach the gospel, did the best they can, but these children wander away anyhow. Well, you know, we should never give up hope that the Lord will fix that situation. He knows how to do it too. Now, we should never neglect our children. That's a caution to people. You are in ministry or whatever. It doesn't matter. Don't neglect your children. That's number one. Your household. Got to do that first. You know, before everything else. You know, some people, they're all busy all over the place doing all these kind of things. And then they neglect. And right under their noses, the devil comes in and makes havoc of their children. But that's not always the case. You know, in some cases, people are truly doing the best they can, training these children with the word of God, doing all you can and so forth to set them straight. But yet they want to just, you know, do their own thing. It's kind of like the prodigal son. The father is doing everything he can to keep him in the house and everything. But he say, no, I got to go, find my own way. I got to go do my own thing, you know, and so on. And they want to go out there. You know, they sometimes, you know, identity crisis. They don't know who they are, you know, and all that's going on with them, especially in this generation. And this generation is so wicked. They call good evil and call evil good. And our children are growing up in the midst of this. You know, therefore, we should not spare. We should not give the Lord any rest as we keep mentioning the children before the Lord. And here's a powerful one for that. Jeremiah 31, verses 16 and 17. No matter where they go, the Lord is going to remember your tears and all your work and labor. So that's why we must put in the work and the labor for these children. Can't just leave these children to be raised by the schools or be raised by television. You know, get them away from that stuff. And let's teach them the way of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah 31 and 16. Refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work over these children, I put that in parentheses, shall be rewarded. You'll see in a minute that he's talking about your children. Saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. That's thus saith the Lord. Glory to God. So never give up, never lose hope. The father of that prodigal son, he never gave up, was always looking out. Check it out. It's my son coming today. That's why he was the first to notice this young man when he was on his way back. Because he was always out there looking. You know, looking and never giving up. Maybe even ask the older brother, have you heard from your brother? I say, who? Because that one didn't care anything about that. Maybe he asked some of his servants, have you heard from this young man? I say, no, sir. You know, but he's always out there waiting. And so we must, and we have, you know, powerful tools today. Now, prayer and these promises that we're covering today, these are the tools by which we must secure the return of our children in case they wander away from the truth. We secure them through these promises. Powerful stuff. The Lord said they will come back from the land of the enemy and they will come again to their own border. That's the place where you raise them, the place of prayer, you know, the place of the sanctity of the word of God in their hearts, you know, to know the truth and so on. It come back to it. Hallelujah. That's the promise of God and it's point blank. So let's believe it for our children. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You say, well, I don't have any children. Well, you have somebody that you can pray for that you know. Same thing. Praise the Lord. Now, there's a promise of a powerful Holy Ghost outpouring for our children and even the youth. In our time, you know, this scripture is in a couple of places. Let's pick up the first one in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And you know that on the day of Pentecost, Peter quoted this very thing in response to a question that he was asked after delivering that powerful sermon. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh and your sons and daughters. You know, so God's going to pour it out upon all flesh. But for your children, it'll be special. You know, there's something that God is going to do, but our part will just be unique. For your children and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Hallelujah. Old men and so forth, they are not left out too during dreams and all of that. But these young men, these young ones, they are agile, they are powerful, they prophesy, they see visions, they do things and so forth like that. You know, and upon the servants and handmaids in those days, you know, nobody is left out, no matter where their status. I'll pour out my spirit. Glory to God. And great things, great promises for us to believe. Now, we want to see this outpouring of the Spirit of God upon our daughters and our sons. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And everyone, and you know, there are many groups that have passion for children. My wife is part of one such group that they are trying to raise the daughters and the sons after God, not just your own family only. But we start with your own family. You can't be raising somebody else's family when yours is, you know, nowhere to be found. You know, they say charity begins at home. Well, Jesus told them, first in Jerusalem, right? From where you are, you know, you start there. So we start in our homes, but by extension, we reach out to this generation. They are lost mostly, but they don't have to be lost. You know, we are the shepherds, and let's make sure nothing is taken under our watch. Let's be like David. You know, and if it's taken by any chance, maybe when you are not looking, the lion comes in and snatches one of them. When you are not looking, the bear comes in and snatches one of them. What are you going to do? You're going to just let the lion have a field day and the bear have a field day? No. You're going to go after them. Say, not on my watch. Give up. Hallelujah. And we can do these things in the spirit. We have that power. We have the arsenal. That's why we are bringing these scriptures to give us hope. You know, not only will our children return from the land of enemy, but they must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Prophesy, see visions, do these great things for the Lord. These are the things that God promised. And we've got to see them upon our children. Jesus spoke even about children. You know, one time, even the little ones, you know, they wanted to bring the children to Jesus to, you know, to bless them and so forth, you know, but they, some people, you know, said, no, don't bother the master. But Jesus, he loved the children. He always spoke. I'm going to read two or three verses here from the Gospels, how Jesus always spoke about those little children. First, Matthew chapter 18. And verse 10, Jesus said, look, these little ones, they, you know, they have angels. The angels are standing before our Father in heaven, always beholding their face, ready to be dispatched on their behalf. You know, so don't despise these little ones, he said. And let's not look down upon them and think they don't have any understanding. Speak to them like they know. Teach them like they understand. Deal with them with wisdom and bring them up in the fair admonition and nurture of the word of God. And take heed, he said, that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven, their angels, you always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So from this little scripture, we even see part of the ministry of angels. Jesus said, look, don't despise these young ones just because you think that they are nothing. They are powerful in the eyes of God. God's got even angels assigned to them. And if God made that kind of investment, then we also should believe, you know, in the life of our children, believe that the Holy Ghost will be in them. The Lord will sanctify them. And we do our part to bring them up in the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen to this also. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14. Again, Jesus speaking many things about children because he cared for them. You know, he said, look, they wanted to bring little children to him so that he should put his hands upon them. You can read that in verse 13 of Matthew 19. You know, and the disciples rebuked him, say, don't trouble the master. You know, he has better things to do, you know, and so forth. Because they despise little children. They didn't think that, you know, children needed to be around the Lord. You know, and then, you know, sometimes parents even do the same thing. You know, when we want to go to church, when you want to go to night vigil, when you want to go to these things, you don't think your children belong. You find a babysitter for them. And there you go. What's that all about? Bring them to the Lord. You know, drag them along if you have to. You know, don't despise them. Don't put them away when you are going to serve the Lord. No, take them along. Hallelujah. Take them along to the prayer meeting. Take them along to the Bible study. Take them along to the, you know, fellowship hour, worship time, or whatever it is. Don't ever put your children someplace else for somebody to watch them while you are going to the Lord. No. Why should we do that? You know, this is what, you know, this lesson is taught here. They say, well, you know, don't bother the master. You know, children, Jesus doesn't have time for children, they thought. Jesus said, no, you know, allow the little children and forbid them not to come unto me. Glory to God, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Some of us don't know that we're actually forbidding our children by our actions. You know, we just think that, well, you know, this and that. No, you know, your actions, if you put your children someplace else and you go on to worship the Lord or to Bible study or prayer meeting and don't take them along, you know, and we are guilty of this thing that these disciples were trying to do right here. You know, so for those that have little children, you know, let us learn from these things. And Jesus always said, bring the children to me. He laid his hands upon them. Huh? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you know, here is another one that Jesus said, you know, Luke chapter 17 and verse 2. Jesus said, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, well, his fate is doomed. That's what Jesus said. It will be better for him that they put a big rock around his neck, you know, and throw him into the bottom of the sea than for him, you know, to lift his finger, you know, against any of these little ones. And there's many ways that people have offended against these little ones. Even in our society today, we have merchandising of children. We have pedophiles and so on. I mean, and even sometimes, you know, parents, you know, contributing, you know, to these things through neglect. Don't neglect your children, you know, pay attention to them when they are growing up. You know, we need to prioritize the lives, salvation, the defense of our children. Prioritize them and don't leave it up to somebody else. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the Lord is giving us some of these warnings here. Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 39. This is the same, similar to what we read in the book of Joel earlier. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell for the first time, you know, upon the early believers as they gathered together waiting for the promise, you know, Peter preaching that powerful sermon, he said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, quoting the prophecy of Joel. And your young men shall see visions. Glory to God. You know, so, you know, let's stand in the word of God. You know, and anytime you go for a revival, you go for a Holy Ghost outpouring. You know, people are always crying for revival. Holy Ghost outpouring. We want that power of God. We want to see revival. We want to see great things. But then we don't invite the children along. You know, we just think that it's only for adults. I mean, are we serving two gods? And even the children, sometimes they think, well, you know, they don't care anything about what the adults are doing because we did not drag them along from the beginning. You know, and so, you know, they just become detached. Let's not be detached. Carry them along. You know, leave none behind. Moses said to Pharaoh, we will leave none behind. Pharaoh said, well, you go, you men do it. You go and leave your wives and your children. Moses said, no, we will go, we and our wives and our children with us. We will not leave anybody behind. All of us will go. Hallelujah. You know, so let's never leave anybody behind, especially our children, for whom God has given us responsibility to bring them up in the Lord. Glory to God. And God has his promises too. You know, he's not just leaving us alone with his children just to struggle. You know, he will be with them and he will help us through all these promises that we have been reading here today. You know, here is the way that in the book of 1 John chapter 2, this is how the Holy Spirit acknowledges power in the lives of the youth. The youth are so important to God. You know, because many people in the Bible that God used mightily was when they were young. Even Jesus himself was a young man when he started. You know, we saw that at the age of 12, he was in the temple, discussing with the, you know, elderly scholars and things like that. Although we didn't hear any more about him because he needed to fulfill all righteousness. To be a rabbi, you had to be 30 years old, you know, and so he was silent for a long time. And then by the time he came back out, we saw that he was still a young man. At the age of 30, he was still young. I mean, you know, there were a lot of people much older than him, you know, in his generation that he dealt with, you know, and the power of God is always going towards the youth because they have the energy. You know, back in the day when I was a young man and several people on this platform too, we experienced some tremendous power and moving of God in our youth. Hallelujah. And I often told my children when they were growing up that, look, you know, don't think that you are just a child. You know, God said to Jeremiah, don't say I'm a child. You know, you will do exactly what I want you to do. You know, don't say I'm a youth and nobody's going to listen to me. Paul said the same thing to Timothy. Don't let anyone despise your youth. No. You know, don't let anyone despise you and so forth. Or your age. No. God, he deals powerfully with this young generation. And so let's listen to this. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read a few verses there of how the Apostle John, he was a young man too. Tradition has it that he was, one of the youngest in the crew there. You know, and so he said, look, I write unto you, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12. I write unto you, little children. And they're not so little, he just said that, because at this time he was now John the aged, right? I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. That's a beautiful promise. You know, there is a promise of forgiveness for our children. You know, they'll come back. We read that they must come back. We teach them the way of forgiveness and let's receive them with open arms. And when the children do come back, you know, that's not the time to scold them and, you know, and do all kinds of things. Receive them with loving arms. We see that story in the story of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. And the father, when he came back, the father never said, well, look at you. You went there, you just messed up and all of that. Begin to lambast him, begin to scold him, begin to punish him, begin to strip him of everything. No, he didn't do that. As a matter of fact, the young man expected that. The young man expected that, well, you know, I've screwed up so badly. I can't be, you know, I'm not even worthy, he said within himself. I'm not worthy to be called son anymore. But, you know, if he can just receive me as a servant, that's good enough. I don't have to die here out of hunger and everything. But when he came, glory to God, the father received him with open arms and didn't, you know, wasn't calling out all of that. And this is the same. This is the way that God treats us. God does not define you by, you know, what you've done in the past. As long as you come to him with a repentant heart. And he said, for my own sake, I'm the one that blots out your transgressions and I will remove your iniquities far from you. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And so we got to do the same thing for our children. When they come back home, then let's receive them with loving arms so that they can, you know, that thing that they will know that there is more love in the house than out there. You know, if they come home and then we treat them harshly, then they will think that harshness is all they're going to get. But when they come back home and they receive the love, then they will know that, wow, what a waste that I've been wasting my time out there. Look at all the love that I get right here. Glory to God. And so Apostle John writing to them and said, look, that sins will be forgiven. You know, he didn't leave out the fathers as well. He wrote to the fathers. He wrote to all of them. You fathers also, I write to you because you've known him. That's from the beginning. And he wrote some more to the young men. You young men and young ladies, same. I have written unto you because you have overcome the wicked one. And he is positive here. You know, whether they had overcome at that time or not. I mean, he's saying it here as though they are already overcome. And they will overcome. And this is the way we need to talk to our children. We need to talk them positive things. If they're being lazy at school and lazy at their homework, lazy in doing their Bible study or Sunday school assignments or whatever it is, call out their future as good. Say, well, you know, I know, you know, that you've done this homework. You know, I know that you've done this study. I know you have overcome all these temptations to be lazy. You know, this is what John is saying here. You know, I guarantee you at the time he was saying this, not all of them had actually overcome, but he's putting it out there. Glory to God. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. You know, put it out there. You know, tell them positive things. Call it out for them. Speak to them like they belong. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, and it says again in, you know, between these three verses, 12, 13, and 14 of 1 John 2, there are many things he calls out to young people. He says also in verse 14, to the fathers, because you've known him from the beginning. And second time he said that. And then he turns again to the young folks, because ye are strong. And the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. That's a positive posture concerning the youth and our generation. And this generation that's after us. Let's not think of them as lost or wandering. You know, no. Let's think of them as strong in the Lord. Let's think of them that the word of God is reaching out to them. Let's do our part while they are young. Reach out to them with love as well. And we know that they will overcome the wicked one and the Lord will bring them back. Powerful, powerful promises today for our children. Praise the Lord. We're talking about natural children and also apply to our children in the faith. You know, all of these promises to apply to whomsoever you can call a child, whether they are your natural children, that they are your, biological children, whether they're your stepchildren, whether your children in the faith, you know, as long as they can be called children, these promises that we have read today apply to them all. Now, little children, he said also to them, and we have to warn them. In verse 18, he said, you have heard that Antichrist shall come, and so on. So he begins to warn them. You know, so we must also warn our little children of some of the prophetic things that we know, you know, are coming. Because some of them may not be aware, just going on. You know, the generations in which God destroyed, the world in the time of Noah, the generation in which judgment came upon Sodom and Gomorrah, many of those people didn't even know, you know, that the judgment was at the door. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, you know, when he was preparing the ark, you know, the people just continued as if nothing was going to come. Noah, 120 years or so, just telling them, doing all these things, repent and so forth. Nobody cared. You know, warning them of the judgment that was coming. People mocked at it because it had never rained like that before. God used to bring up a mist from the ground. And so rain, what kind of rain? What does that mean? Well, nobody was laughing the day that Noah closed the doors to the ark. Nobody. After he got all those animals in there and closed that door, God shut that door. Nobody was laughing there. You know, so we need to warn this younger generation of what's coming. Jesus said also in the days of, like it was in the days of, you know, Noah, he said they were giving him marriage, doing all these things. They knew not until the flood came and took them away. Likewise, in the days of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, until the brimstone and fire came from heaven, destroyed them all. They were all just carrying on in their wicked ways. So we ought to warn this generation. That's what John the Apostle is doing here. It's warning them, you know, that's going to be evil in the last days, you know, and so forth. And so you know that we are in the last times. There are many antichrists, there are many false prophets, there are all of these things. Begin to warn them. You know, let's warn our children also of the impending evil that we're already seeing. The gathering storm is gathering all around the world today. You know, it's like the spider's web trying to draw people in. You know, and that spider, he's really smart. You know, he put out the web, it looks beautiful, and an insect gets in there. He draws that, you know, he just doesn't do anything. You know, and the insect keeps crawling in. It doesn't do anything until the insect gets right into the middle of that web. And he snaps that thing. And there is no escape. You can't go nowhere after that. You know, so let's warn our children. But above all, let's believe that our children are blessed of the Lord because we are blessed. All these promises that we've read, they pass on through us as channels to our children. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. I wanted to make it brief this morning, so I went through that very quickly. And I am going to pray over the room. Then I'll release it to everyone who wants to make a comment and also those who want to pray along for the children and what have you. We believe that God's going to do, and he's starting already, great work among the youth. And let it begin with my house. Joshua said, in Joshua 24 and 15, he said, as for me and my house, you know, we are going. He told them, you know, choose you this day whom you will serve. You know, if the Lord be God, then choose him. And if Baal be Baal, you know, whoever, you know, same thing as, you know, Elijah told them in those days, choose whoever that you want to serve. You know, but, you know, for me, you know, and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he made that decision point blank. You know, hallelujah. Also concerning, you know, concerning Abraham, the Lord said, I know him, you know, that he will direct his children after him. You know, he will direct his children after him. And what is the testimony, you know, that God has of you? Can God say of you, like he said of Abraham, that I know him, that he will direct his children after him? Let's read that in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. That's what the Lord said concerning Abraham. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Well, what is God's testimony about you, how you're raising your children? Can, especially fathers, can he say of you that, like he said of Abraham? Fathers, and sometimes fathers are, you know, nowhere to be found. Many, many families are suffering from absentee fathers, unfortunately. You know, they are not there, nowhere to be found. And then the mother has to play a dual parental role of, you know, being the mother, being the father, and all of these things. And many times they are burnt out. These women are. But they do the best they can. And my heart goes out to people who are like that, and we pray for grace and strength. But, you know, we got to bring these children up, you know, and let us have that kind of testimony before the Lord so that the Lord can say of us, I know him. He's going to command, you know, the Bible says that we should raise our children with gravity, you know, and soberness and so forth, sobriety, but also with love. And here is a promise in the book of Malachi, the very last chapter there in chapter 4, and the last few verses starting from verse 6 and so on, verses 5 and 6. Here's what the Lord said. In the end, at the very last, the Lord is going to bring something about that will close the gap between the fathers and the children. Seems like there's been a lot of drifting apart, but the Lord promised that he will send the Elijah anointing. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Jesus even referred to this. He said, if you can receive it, I was talking of John the Baptist because he had came in the spirit of Elijah. So if you can receive it, this is that which was to come. But more so, in every generation, we can claim this, you know, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to their children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. This also means that, you know, getting the children back to the Lord sometimes has to begin with the fathers. Fathers, humble yourselves and reach out to your children. This is what he's saying. First, he will turn the heart of the fathers. He begins with the fathers. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And through that love and care and, you know, reaching out and so forth. And don't be discouraged. They don't want any part of you at first. But you believe God, stand on this word. Well, that's the case if the father was absent all along anyway. And now the children don't want any part of them. But if you were present in the lives of your children, that should not be hard at all. I thank God I am blessed, you know, my children listen to me because I was present in their lives. But, you know, I still have opportunity many times, you know, to humble myself, reach out to the younger generation because we never understood them. You know, they were always saying, well, you guys don't know what we're going. I'm like, what are you going through? There's nothing you're going through that we haven't gone through before, you know, but one day, you know, along the way, the Lord made me understand that there's a different way to deal with this generation, you know, and so forth. You know, so I had to humble myself, reach out to them, and it began to bring healing in their hearts. Not so much me, but them. Hallelujah. You know, so, you know, God will do this thing. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. He will close that generational gap. I promised it right here. So let's believe God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's listening this morning. I thank you for the word that we have shared. May the goodness and the grace of God be in our hearts and give us, you know, encouragement to take these scriptures and believe them. Hallelujah. Now that we know these promises, may they be mingled with faith in our hearts as we declare them over our children. As we pray these things over our children, as we believe these things for our children, as we declare them for our children, so let it be in the name of Jesus. And we shall lose none of them. Glory to God. Jesus said it himself. I will lose none. I will raise them up at the last day. Neither will we lose any of our children. They will go with us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that God will give us the grace to understand these things today. And to, you know, encourage ourselves and empower our children through the grace of God in these promises that we have read today. Give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen.